Welcome to the Uncommon Career Podcast, where you get clear direction, a persuasive brand, and a competitive strategy that moves you forward. My name is Patricia Ortega, and I'm your host and career coach. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Today, we're talking to Dr. Joey Fossett. Dr. Joey is a positive culture architect, executive coach, and best-selling author of numerous books, including his latest book, Small Hinges, Swing Big Doors. Dr. Joey empowers individuals and companies to attract top talent, reduce team turnover, and develop people, productivity, and profits. He hosts the Work Positive podcast every single week, and as a prolific writer of over 1,000 articles, his content has appeared on the websites of Fox News, CNBC, Wall Street Journal, MarketWatch, MSNBC, Entrepreneur.com, and countless others in more than 50 countries. He's going to talk to us today about building positive culture and emotional intelligence so that you can enjoy work every single day. Let's get started with today's episode. Well, hello. How are you doing today, Dr. Joey?
I am excellent, Patricia. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Excited to be here with you today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, I don't want to take for granted that you have so many years of experience and just such an influence in the podcast that you have, the Work Positive podcast, yeah, and the group you've got on LinkedIn. So why don't you share with us from your perspective an introduction?
Well, thanks. I'm a firstborn son. My preferred personal pronoun is Pops. So
nice.
Other than that, words like seasoned have been used for me before and mature. I'm just glad to have been around long enough to actually have learned something. I, early in my career thought I knew more than I did, but, fortunately I've surrounded myself with really smart people and people who are intentional about helping others, live into their calling and give expression to that through their work. And so that's inspired me to do the same. So I've spent a lot of time in the culture space, helping people create a positive work culture. As you noted, Work Positive Podcast, we're in our second season now. Had a previous podcast to that, which lasted about 7 years. So in dog years, I guess that's about 49 years. And so I started as a teenager in radio broadcasting, actually. And so have a long history of communication, written about, I think my ninth book is about to come out, depending on when you're listening to this. It'll be before Thanksgiving of 23. My last book, I guess, which was the eighth one, if I'm counting correctly, it may not be, just came out in September, Small Hinges, Swing Big Doors. And that's the shortest book I've ever written, is a little under 100 pages, and finding that people rather read shorter books now, just chocked full of pithy encouragements and actions that they can take to create a positive work culture. We're not all B-haggers, as I like to say. Big, hairy, audacious goals are amazing, and we all should have them. But we can dot something. That is, we can do one thing today to create a positive work culture. And so that's what I'm known for, helping companies do that.
Absolutely love that. Thank you for sharing that. So that gives us a little bit of context to kind of move this conversation forward. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that kind of caught my attention was the content that you put out both on LinkedIn, but more importantly on your podcast. And I think there's been, and I don't know if you could share this from your perspective, but at least for my generation, there's been this big shift in perception of work life, right? Mm-hmm. That, you know, corporate space was very serious, very professional. And now there's this turn in terms of it's should be a positive space. It should be an encouraging space. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the whole concept, we'll talk more about emotional intelligence, but mm-hmm. the whole idea of having a place where you feel positive, mm-hmm. you're going to be more effective, right? Do you want to share your thoughts on that?
Yeah. And kudos to your generation for not putting up some of the crap that my generation did and my parents before me, where we had what was really more of an assembly line mentality to human beings, right? Just do your job, put your head down, and go work your hours. And if there's any of you left over at the end of the day, you're welcome to it.
Well, the end of the day, it's pretty late.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes day bleeds into night, right?
Yeah.
So kudos to your generation for seeing what my generation did, the mistakes that we made in terms of the overinvestment of our human spirit, in many ways, sacrificing our joie de vivre on the anvil of corporate greed. And look, I'm all about making money. Companies need to make money to be sustainable. We all need money. It's kind of like air, right? However, I think it comes at a cost. And so we dehumanize the process, which is highly ironic because I work for me in the work that I do with human resources, right?
Yeah, right. Human capital, they call it.
Yeah, I like to say, Patricia, we're putting the human back into resources. And so there's this wonderful movement that I refer to as the great redefinition. You know, we had the great resignation, the great regret, and then I still haven't quite figured out what quiet quitting is all about. I think you show up, but don't show up. But anyway, it's some paradox anyway. So now, particularly, I think with the advance of augmented intelligence, we're discovering what it is that human beings can bring to work and the meaning, fulfillment, satisfaction, the alignment of purpose, the need to belong and yet become, all of those things wrapped up into one nice package is redefining work so that we get the human expression, the innovation, the creativity, the things that machines can't do or an assembly line can't produce. We're seeing those come to bear now in the marketplace. And the companies that are truly tapping into this need to put out more than pizza on Friday and a coffee bar with granola.
Because those were very effective.
Yeah, they worked so well for so long, right?
Yeah.
The companies that are looking beyond that are the ones that are seeing longer tenures. I mean, there are companies now that are seeing 15-year tenures and longer, but for the right reasons. Before it was because I'm captive, but now it's because I'm captured. My imagination's captured. My energy's captured. I'm being innovative and creative. So my total human experience now includes work. So this artificial division between personal life and professional life is gone. But it's not just the subsuming of personal by professional. It's seeing yourself as a whole person first and helping others respect you as a whole person so that work becomes an expression of some reason why you're the way you are, unique to yourself out of almost 8 billion people.
Oh, that's great. And you brought up multiple points there to sort of emphasize, you know, one of the pieces is that there's, and I observed some worry and some fear when artificial intelligence first came onto the playing field. And it was like, oh, they're going to take our jobs. And one of the things that I remember is that artificial intelligence frees us up to be more creative, to be more human, if you think of it, right? Yeah. And so I completely agree with that sort of perspective of, you know, artificial intelligence is one of those things that is bringing the human strength to the forefront.
Yeah, exactly. And let me give a quick shout out to my mentor, Dr. Bob Johansson from the Institute for the Future right here. He's the one that helped me understand that it's more augmented intelligence than it is artificial intelligence, because what you're looking at here is an opportunity for human resources, right? And IT, information technology, to begin having conversations about how, to your point, machines can do what machines do best and free up the human resources to do what they do best, the creativity and innovation and things like that. So we're already augmented in some way. If you, like, for instance, every day for lunch, I have cachava, you know, plant-based protein for lunch. With my coffee, by the way.
In addition to.
Yeah, it's a great latte. It really is. I mix coffee with the vanilla cachava. By the way, cachava's not paying me anything to talk about this. But Anyway, I'm augmenting my physiology with 25 grams of protein, and it's all plant-based and things like that. So because we're already augmented through nutrition, things like that, it becomes quite natural that the human machine interaction would augment as well. If you wear a Fitbit, which I don't, but if you wear a Fitbit, that's some type of augmentation. It may be slight in some people's minds, but it's telling you what your heart rate is. And then more and more sensors will just become ubiquitous, Bob says. And Bob's been doing this long enough. He's more seasoned than me to understand the signals and trends that have led us to where we are. So it's that 50-year look back and the 10-year look ahead that allows him to speak with wisdom into this current intersection.
Wow, such interesting content. All right, so switching gears just ever so slightly, I'm curious, based off your experience, the folks that you've interviewed, the insights you've gained in writing these 9 books, what specific challenges do you think that mid to senior levels leaders face in their careers as individuals, and how does that impact their team performance?
Boy, that's a great double-pronged question. I would say the first and largest challenge is self-awareness. If you have at least an emerging clarity about who you are and why you're here, then you're way ahead of the curve of most people. And so just spending some time, and it may sound woo-woo here, although I know you're, from the OC originally, so...
So we may have something in common.
Yeah, so I don't have to worry about sounding too squishy with you, right?
That's so funny.
But just knowing who you are and why you're here moves the ball a long ways down the field. I mean, that's a long kick for most of us. So just finding ways of collaborating with those persons with whom you work, or persons in your family, or somebody who knows you well, to say, hey, when do I seem the most energized? When am I the most excited? When do you notice that I'm more passionate in conversations? You know, what are those topics? How am I doing that? That's a huge data point for you right there to discover more about who you are. And that will move you past job, as Sean Aker talks about in The Happiness Advantage, past job and career, right on into calling. Again, you're unique out of almost 8 billion people now. So why is that? Why, beyond a random combination of DNA, why are you who you are? So just discovering that, noticing when your energy peaks and when your excitement is in the flow, as we like to talk about. You know, everybody's read that book, right? I can never say his name, so you know what I'm talking about. The flow.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
So, when are you in the flow? When does it seem like, you think you've worked 2 hours and you've actually worked 5? Just noticing yourself, that's going to help you move beyond career into calling. And really, I think, Patricia, that's what makes it an uncommon career, is that you're in calling. So you are partnering then with companies to fulfill your calling, as opposed to, let me find out how much money I can make. Let me see what their benefits packages are like. Let me go to the highest bidder, because then you're just prostituting yourself, right? And you
are calling. Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, that's an interesting way of saying it, but I mean, it kind of flips that switch to think, is this really how I want to spend my time?
Yeah, because if I've learned anything from a week from when we're recording this, I turned 64 years old. If I've learned anything in almost 64 years, it's that it really is true that life moves at a very rapid pace. And the longer you're here, the faster it gets. So ensuring that you're both strategic and tactical in the use of your resources and of who you are is so important. So move beyond career and make it an uncommon career in that you're living out your calling. Now, in terms of team performance, once you're doing that, what I discovered in my own journey is that And this is based on my personality type as well, is that competence, improving my competence, was just a huge piece for me. So that's insecurity driven. And maybe I just was, well, no, not maybe. I wasn't comfortable in who I was or understood myself and why I'm here very well. So when you can achieve that, or at least some clarity around that, there's not a lot of certainty about anything much anymore, but if you can get some clarity around who you are and why you're here and what's my calling, then team performance becomes huge, because it's not a compare and compete modality anymore. It's collaboration. And so I know who I am. I know what I can bring. I'm naturally looking for ways in which we can partner, collaborate, right, to accelerate the mission of the company. I've already, because I know who I am, I've already ensured alignment between the company mission and my personal mission. So I understand how my daily task fit into the overall company mission. And therefore, I'm here to partner with you to do amazing work that's innovative and creative. And that then becomes our competitive advantage in the marketplace.
Gosh, this is so great. That the key point that kind of resonated with me as you're talking, and it all kind of came to a head, is when you know who you are at the core, your mission, your values comes along with that. Your talents comes along with that. Your skill sets. It's like, it's very all encompassing, like who you are as a person, right? So you go into this work environment, and because you know who you are, you can also appreciate who you're not and who other people are and what they bring to the table. And it just feels like this sort of mosaic, right? This well-oiled machine that was designed, really, right? And so I'm curious, you know, it sounds almost utopian, right? But how how do we get there? Like, how do we get there, especially in spaces where, you know, it's easy for us, right, or coaches to be like, oh, self-awareness is so important, right? We spend our days with our eyeballs and books about self-awareness, right, and talking to people. But for folks who maybe, you know, this isn't a normal part of their everyday, how do they move towards that higher level of self-awareness?
Great question. Well, first of all, find yourself a company to work with that encourages that. A company that identifies preferred behavior in terms of its culture, and that preferred behavior includes respect.
Yeah. You
know, we respect each other. Or as my friend David Friedman from Culture by Design likes to talk about, practice blameless problem solving. That's very specific behavior. So find a company, and they're rare, although David and I and others are, you know, working to help more companies understand the importance of their culture, particularly to ROI, both from a human resources as well as a financial resources perspective. So do your best to find a company that encourages this kind of alignment. Ask those tough questions going in, just to say, you know, how do you develop people? There's a lot of talk about people development and talent development, and talent development's become a new phrase, you know, director of people and culture. Okay. What does that look like? How does that express itself in this company? And then paradoxically, the flip side of that same coin is, please avoid waiting for the company that you're working for to do this for you. If you want it done, you're going to have to do it yourself. That's why my most recent book was Small Hinges, Swing Big Doors. And that's why the course at our website at workpositive.today/small hinges is all about taking these perspectives and bringing it together so that you can do one thing yourself, small hinges, and find companies swinging big doors that encourage you to do that. So waiting for the perfect time, or waiting until life slows down, or waiting until you get a raise, or you find the perfect job, or have children, or whatever it is that you're, the invisible script, as Ramit Sethi talks about, that's running in your head, right? Just set that aside and start today. And just say, hey, just ask a friend. When do you see me most excited? When do you see me most energetic? You know, when's the time it looked like I was just having a great time?
So within that context, right, of self-awareness, we talked a little bit, or you shared a little bit about the individual side, right? Look for a company that might help with this process, but then also take initiative, be proactive, and go after what it is that you want, that personal development and self-awareness. If someone is in a position and they have a team and they're not quite sure why their team might not be performing as impressively as they would like or to their potential, what are some questions they can ask themselves as a team lead to say, how can I influence the performance of this team?
Active listening is so important. And as an executive coach, that's, you know, that plus powerful questions. That's how, that's how I make apple butter every day. I would say just ask the question. Just say to your teammates, how do you think we're doing? And then listen without judgment. Just receive whatever you hear. Particularly if you're the team leader now, this is it takes it to a whole nother level because you're making yourself vulnerable here. But we know transparency, authenticity, vulnerability free others to become their best self, work personally, and et cetera. So just finding ways to ask those questions. How's it going? When's the time you thought we worked together on a project and did really, really well, and you were fulfilled and had satisfaction? The results were excellent. Part of the challenge today is that we measure unimportant metrics. We measure still where we're working. That has become a really interesting question over the last 4 years. And even more so now as we are, you know, hopefully coming out of the pandemic. And I mean, when the CEO of the company that delivers cardboard boxes to your front porch weekly or daily, it seems like sometimes if that CEO is saying, hey, if you can't come into work physically, don't have a job here. You know, when you're starting to hear that versus, I mean, that's measuring physicality as opposed to measuring results. My friend Jody Thompson talks a lot about ROW, results only work environment. So I'd encourage you to go to GoRow, GoRowe.com and check out. She's been doing it a long time. She really pushes us to consider how we measure what's important. And results are what's important. If I can do the work in 2 hours that it takes you 5 hours to do, okay, I achieved the same results. So does that mean I sit at my desk where you make me stay for 3 hours pretending to work? That doesn't sound like a whole lot of joy de vivre in work to me. But if we measure the results and hyper-focus on that, just become almost manic about that, that's when team performance accelerates. So how do we get there? You know, what are we measuring now? What could we measure? And just ask your team these questions based on optimal experiences of team performance.
Yeah, this is good. I'm glad you mentioned optimal experiences of team performance because, you know, oftentimes we might ask and in a space where we might not be used to being vulnerable and asking for feedback and sitting and receiving and listening to that feedback, seeking to understand and improve versus seeking to respond.
Yeah.
It could be just a small change in terms of adding that optimal performance part of the question. I think naturally the response might be, well, here's what we're not doing well, instead of here's what we are doing well.
Yeah.
And so let's move towards that instead of away from something else. What are your thoughts on, you know, like you said, seeking the positive for improvements as opposed to finding what to develop?
Yeah. I'm sure you've had the experience, Patricia, where a company will bring you in and they want you to coach some executives, right? Who do you wind up coaching?
The problem child. I mean, that's just the answer.
Yep. So often, prior to our being brought in as an executive coach, there's been an assumption that a knowledge gap is what's driving the less than peak performance. And so we put them through some courses, right? And you just need to fill your head with it. When what we're actually looking at is a behavior that we want to see modified. So rather than emphasizing what's wrong, which is an illness model, which is the way the whole medical community functions in this world right now, let's look at peak performance. And in our particular company, we use a narrative approach to helping persons identify their high performance patterns. That is, what's going on around you, what has gone on around you where you were at peak performance throughout your lifetime. So we encourage people to think of personal examples, business examples, and then the third example you get to write a narrative around is either your choice, personal or professional. So, you know, there's certain things going on in the environment around me when I'm at peak performance. So what are those? How do I place myself in those situations? How do I show up best at those? So just helping people identify those optimal performance characteristics and playing to those more. And then the masterful leadership task is weaving those together into a beautiful tapestry and just finding out how those puzzle pieces fit.
Wow. Tapestry is a great word for that. Mm. It's a great word for that. Okay. Well, I've got tons of other questions, but let's start to wrap it up because I know you've got some other things to do with your Friday afternoon. But
being with you is most important right now.
Well, then let's keep going.
Hey, let's keep going.
So as we're talking about kind of team performance and the impact of the person, it's like the underlying thread is this idea that it is not about how hard we work or how much time we're at the office or where we are, what computer or desk we're in front of. But it's really this almost intangible inner, how would you describe it? How would you put that into words, kind of what we're looking after to have these high performance teams?
Yeah, alignment. That's and in some circles, that's an overworked word. You know, we just need to get alignment. Okay. Yeah, you do. But
what does it mean?
Yeah. What does that mean? And more specifically, what do you do to get an alignment?
Yeah.
And so again, it goes into that journey within and the journey without. And that's the mark of good leaders is they create a culture where people do those kinds of things that are emotionally intelligent and their behaviors are driven by certain, and understand their behaviors are driven by core values. Now, I'm not suggesting a company shouldn't have core values. I'm just suggesting that putting a mission, vision, and value statement on the wall in a frame just doesn't get the job done. It begins when you're attracting top talent, you know, asking those insightful questions that really break the ice in a different direction and let someone know, hey, this is a little bit different than what you might would have expected. A friend of mine, Jamie Weeks, whom I interviewed for the Work Positive podcast, has three incredible questions he likes to ask in these attraction conversation. One is, what was your first car? Two, what was your first concert? And three, what movie could you watch over and over and over and over? Yeah. But, and the reason he does that is to create some vulnerability because I don't know what your first car was, Patricia, but it's a pretty humbling experience for me to talk about.
It's usually a bucket, right?
Yeah. It had an AM radio at least, but
cassette slot.
When we're talking about those kinds of things, we're really relating human to human at that point. So we get to know one another. So it begins in that attraction phase of the beginning of our relationship. And then as we continue to work together, we want to make sure that we keep the back door as small as possible. Not that we want to trap people or capture them in a position where they can't get out of it, but to where we're doing those kinds of things that tend in mind those relationships that call forth the best from persons. So it's that it's that environment in which, in culture really, in which you encourage persons to discover more of who they are, to develop. You know, it's personal development, professional development. It's an artificial division. It's Joey development. It's Patricia development, right? So it's that development piece and the expectation that my mission aligns with the company mission, which is the belonging piece. And the other important piece is becoming, so that I'm becoming the best version of me, so I can show up with my best self, understanding what brings peak performance for me and how I can best contribute, because I want to contribute. And therein lies the great redefinition of work, is work allows me to contribute to the greater good of humanity and of the financial prowess of this company, so that it can be sustainable and support people in this community and the team members and everyone else.
Oh, that's great. So good alignment makes a true contribution possible and enjoyable.
It expects it, really, and calls forth the best from each person. Now that's totally different than having a tick list of you got to have this certification and do this, this, and this. Those things are important, the technical skills side of it. But as my friend Larry Levine from Selling from the Heart likes to say, soft skills yield hard dollars.
Absolutely. I like that. Well, I've got a few more questions. Now, these questions are going to be short.
Okay.
They're quick. They're very difficult.
All right. Very difficult rapid-fire questions.
Very difficult.
So I was made for this.
This is going to be mathematical equations. Are you ready?
Sure, as long as I get to pick the algorithm.
All right. Sweet or salty?
Say again.
Sweet or salty?
Swalty.
Swalty. All right. Are you a night owl or an early riser?
Yes. More early riser than night owl, but I can go both ways.
Okay. Are you a road rager or the person we get mad at?
Neither.
Well, that's good.
I found a long time ago talking to automobiles or their drivers is a zero-sum game. So they can't hear me, right?
All right. So now I just want to check in with you. You know, you mentioned your course, you mentioned your podcast. Can you just kind of share with us a summary of where you'd like us to go if we want to check out your work, read your books, listen to your podcast?
Sure. Thanks for asking. As you mentioned at the top of the podcast, I'm on LinkedIn. So we do a ton of content and it's all shared through LinkedIn. Our website is workpositive.today. That's the hub. The Work Positive podcast lives there, but also it lives wherever you're having podcast conversations, wherever you're listening to this one or wherever finer podcasts are heard. That's where the Work Positive podcast is. And then, of course, if you're an author today, you owe your soul to Jeff Bezos. So we're on Amazon. Yeah. And if you just put Dr. Joey Fawcett into Amazon, you'll see a whole lot of books pop up. So just find the two short ones, Small Hinges Swing Big Doors, and then Do One Thing. That's the latest one that's coming out around Thanksgiving of 23.
Ah, Do One Thing, coming out Thanksgiving of 2023. That's just in a few weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today. I really appreciate all the insights and the wisdom that you've shared just from all of your experience. Thank you again.
Thank you, Patricia. I'm always humbled when anybody besides my mom asks me questions and listens. So thanks so much for the opportunity.
You're very, very welcome. And everyone, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you as well. Know that we love you. We'll be praying for you. We'll see you on the next one. Hey, thanks for listening. I really appreciate you spending time with me today. If you found this episode helpful, please tap the 5-star review on the show's homepage in your podcast app. It would absolutely make my day, and it helps others discover the Uncommon Career Podcast. Now, to download your free career resources and learn how I help seasoned professionals land amazing offers in as little as 90 days, click on the link in the description or go to theuncommoncareer.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you on the next one.